It is to the verse number 12 I would like to draw your attention to for a few moments this evening. And I want to ask each and every one of you tonight, are you ready to meet God? That is the title of my message tonight, is that question to each and every one of our hearts. Are you ready to meet God? And in this message tonight, I want to be thinking upon preparing to meet God. On Tuesday, the 6th of March, 1984, it began just like any other ordinary day in the life of William McConnell and his family. On that morning, he sat at his meal table and ate his breakfast while his little 3.5-year-old daughter Gail was chatting away to her daddy. His wife Beryl was out cleaning the windows on William's car before he headed off to work that morning. Beryl helped William on with his coat, and they said their goodbyes. But something was different about this morning than any other morning. Something was different in that their elderly neighbours who lived across the way, they were never usually up. There was never usually any sign of activity at their house in the early hours of the morning. But at 8:15 that morning, Beryl noticed that there was something strange about their neighbour's home, because their garage door was opened and their vehicle, which usually sat in the garage, was now on the driveway facing outwards onto the road. And then Beryl noticed two strange men coming across the road from the property, heading towards their home and their gate. And Beryl soon realised that these men were carrying weapons. These men were preparing to fire at her husband William. When Beryl realised what was happening, she shouted to her husband. And then when William heard the shouts of his wife, he suddenly turned round and saw these two men coming towards him. And he immediately spun around in an attempt to avoid being injured. The men were only 3 or 4 yards away from where William was, and they opened fire on him. William received a number of wounds to his head and his chest, and he fell down and passed away. In a split second, in a moment of time, our life can be taken away from us. Surely this past year has reminded us and brought to our attention very clearly the suddenness and certainness of death. That death, it is indiscriminate of our age, of our background, of our social status, or of any of our particular affiliations. In the book of Amos, we've read this evening, the prophet is prophesying mainly against Israel for its sins against the Lord. And in this chapter, four particularly, he reproves them for their oppression, for their idolatry, and for their habitualness. The Lord reproves them by saying that they will be carried off by their enemies, that they will be that there will be breaches made in the walls of their city, that they will face famine, that they will face drought, that their crops will be blighted by mildew and pestilence, that their young men will be slain, that their horses will be removed from them, verse 10, that the Lord would cause their smell to go up into their own nostrils, that the Lord would have them overthrown, that he would pluck them from the burning. And we see these things from verses 2 to verses 10, these things which God has permitted his people to endure because of their sin and because of their disobedience against the Lord. We see here that the Lord was judging his people for their sin. And in verse 12 tonight, it speaks of impending judgment upon God's people. God must judge this world over its sin and rebellion against him. And he did it before by sending a global flood upon the world. But the next time, it will not be a flood that will destroy this world, but it will be by fire. And so tonight, I want to consider this message in preparing to meet God. That when God judges a nation, a group, or the world, it is because of their sin. Because God is holy, God is righteous, and God is just. And he cannot tolerate sin and have it in his presence. And with that in mind, I want to consider that statement, prepare to meet thy God, in verse 12. First of all, I want to draw your attention to God's declared intent. Because it says there in verse 12, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." God spoke to his prophet Amos, and Amos was the man that God had chosen to go and to preach and to prophesy against his people. Now the name Amos is very interesting, because the name Amos means burden. And truly Israel had a burden. Israel were weighed down by the burden of their sin. And God was burdened that his people were living in sin, gross sin, idolatrous sin, sins which were separating them from God. And he resolved to do it, although he was going he was going to judge his people. And we have noticed there from verses 2 to 10 that he had already, as it were, chastised and reproved his people. But yet that didn't seem to have any effect upon them. They still continued to live in sin. They still continued to disobey God. I think of how the Lord has permitted this virus to come upon the world, and how men have tried to get rid of it themselves. And as he thought something a little bit about that this morning. And yet God is speaking through these times in which we're living in. And yet it seems that even though people have been touched perhaps by this virus, perhaps they have been touched by the passing of a loved one, but yet they still tonight are in their sin. They still tonight are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And here we see that despite God chastising and reproving his people over through a number of different situations, they still continued on their way of sin and disobedience against him. And my friend tonight, if God is to be if God is God, and he is, and if he is to be God, he is to remain just, and he is just, and he must punish sin. He isn't one who makes a promise and breaks it. The sins committed are against him and against him alone. And so he will personally bring judgment upon those who disobey him and his law. For man, from the creation of the world, has sought to destroy and disobey God's word and sought to do his own thing. As Frank Sinatra sang many years ago, "I did it my way." And how many people tonight in our province and further afield are doing it their way? They think they will get to heaven their own way. They think that they are good enough to get into God's heaven. They think that their religiosity, their church background perhaps, or their good works is enough to get them into heaven. Well, we see here that the problem of sin, it is a problem that has been throughout all the human history. And man has always sought at every point to try and to disobey God, try to replace God, try to get him out of society, and try to prove God away. When we think of the flood that God's people, or that the Lord sent upon the world, and how the Lord preserved 8 souls in the ark. And when we think of this morning, when we were considering how God had delivered his people out of Egypt and then at the Red Sea, and how he preserved them through the wilderness journey, and how they were carried away into Babylon over their sin. So this isn't something new to God at all. God has to punish, God has to reprove his people for their sins. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's what the Bible teaches us. But we also see here, secondly, Israel's duty to prepare. Because the prophet says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." And since God had declared his intent to punish Israel, it was up to them now to be obedient to God's word and to prepare to meet him. We must ask the question, how do we prepare to meet God? How do you prepare to meet God? Well, as with most things, there is the incorrect way and there is the correct way. And the context of this passage, and particularly this verse, it is speaking directly to God's people. But I would like to take it slightly out of its context tonight, and I'd like to preach it in the gospel, because men and women tonight, and young people, we are living in a day of opportunity. And praise God, today we still have the opportunity. You still have an opportunity tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may this be a challenge to us as Christians in the meeting tonight, that there would be no sin in our lives that would cause God to have to reprove us or to chastise us. But as I said, I would like to try and imply this tonight in the gospel. Perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian. Perhaps you've never came and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Or maybe you're watching in or listening in online. Well, I want to consider that there is the wrong way to prepare. And that simply is how that Israel, God's people, had been punished for their previous sins. Yet with that result, they were judged. And that judge was real and it was lasting. It had an impact upon their lives and upon their hearts. As Robert Robinson said in his famous hymn, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." You see, there was a wrong way to prepare. And many think that rejecting God's word, many tonight reject God's word. They disobey the law of God. They disobey the commandments of Scripture. They want to continue on in their sinful lifestyle. They don't want to give up their sin. They love their sin too much. And yet they disobey the word of God. May it never be said of us as believers in here tonight that we are disobedient to the word of God. God's people here were still continuing on in their sins. Look at, if you turn back to just the previous chapter, chapter 3 in the verse 13. It says there, "Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts." You see, they had failed to obey God's word. And since they had failed to obey God's word, they were going to be punished accordingly. You see, so many today think that the Bible, they think that Christianity is nothing more than a set of rules and regulations. They think that the Bible is nothing more than do this and do that. Well, how wrong they are. See, Christianity is not about a religion. Christianity is about a relationship with a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has given us his word for us to grow. The Lord has told us in the word of God, "Thou shalt not," for a reason. That is to preserve our life. That is to preserve us from pain and suffering. "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal." And yet how many are engaging in these things tonight and think that they are living life to the full? As we noticed this morning as well, that the fear nots are in the Bible for our encouragement, that we ought not to fear. And as our brother prayed in the prayer meeting earlier, we have the "Thou shalt," "Thus saith the Lord." And these are for our instruction, these are for our benefit, not to put us under bondage. And yet, how many are disobeying the word of God tonight? They think it's nothing more than religion and rules and regulations. But we know that it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can know and love and have a relationship with the Son of God, the one that loved us and gave himself for us. And yet there's many tonight still disobeying God and his word. And yet because they disobey God's word, they will be punished for that. Some not only disobey, but some put it off. Some know they need to be saved. Some know that they must come to Christ now. But yet they put it off to another time. They assume that there will be another time for them to come to the Savior. They assume that they will live to a ripe old age, and that they will have all their faculties and all their senses and all their wits about them, as it were, and that they will get saved whenever they like. How foolish. You know, that is one of the greatest lies that the devil can tell somebody who is under conviction. Put it off to another time. Wait till you retire, and then think about the things of God. But surely we have seen in this last number of months and weeks how that even the youngest of people can be taken out into God's eternity in a moment of time. Such is the urgency for you to be saved tonight, my friend, if you're not a Christian. The urgency is upon you tonight to come while you can, while you're able to. Because how do you know you'll be able to come tomorrow? How do you know you'll be able to come at the end of the meeting? How do you know you'll be able to come next year if the Lord spares and tarries? As 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 clearly tells us, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And while some disobey the word of God, while others put it off, the need of their soul's salvation, then there are those who just totally flat out reject it. Some just reject it outright, like those who stood before the Saviour that day when the Lord Jesus Christ was beside Pilate, and Pilate had presented the Lord Jesus Christ to the people. And the crowd, what did they cry? "We will not have this man to reign over us." You see, they had witnessed his miracles. They had seen him raise the dead to life. They had seen how the Saviour brought sight to the blind, how he caused the lame to walk, how he healed those with all manner of sicknesses and diseases. What about the woman with the issue of blood? She just came and touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. How many of those people in the crowd that day had witnessed the miracles of the Lord? How many of them had sat under his preaching and heard him preach, the greatest preacher that ever walked this world? And yet their cry from their heart is, "We will not have this man to reign over us." So is that the cry of your heart tonight? "I will not have Christ to rule over my life and my heart. I will not have him to be my Saviour. Away with him." You know, the crowd also cried that day, "His blood be upon our heads." See, such was the wickedness, such was the sinfulness and the depravity of those people's hearts that they would utter such awful words that the blood of Christ would be upon their heads. But yet, my friend, tonight, that is the state of the sinful heart tonight. That is the depths to which the sinful heart can plummet when they reject Christ. When they reject the Spirit's wooings upon their heart, the Spirit convicting them of their sin. When they hear the Word of God, the Spirit comes and takes the Word of God and convicts them of their sin. And yet, they put it off. I remember hearing the story of a mission Dr. Paisley conducted many years ago. And there was a lady that came to the meetings night by night. And night by night, she left the meeting in tears. I'm sure you've heard this story before, but I'll recount it anyway. And one night that lady went home, convicted of her sin. And she cried out, "Lord, speak to me no more." And the Lord did that. The Lord answered her prayer. And that lady was seen to be at the meeting the next night. And as Dr. Paisley preached, he noticed this lady was not moved like she was before. And while shaking hands at the door at the end of the meeting, she told him what she had said. And the Lord did not speak to her again. And how many in our province tonight have uttered such an awful prayer to God? "Lord, speak to me no more." And how many people has the Lord took at their word? And the Spirit of God has stopped striving with them so that they won't be saved. Some put it off. Some totally reject God's salvation. Many disobey the word of God. But I want to think of the right way to prepare. We thought about the wrong way to prepare to meet God, and that is to do nothing. That is to totally reject Christ altogether. But we must come and consider the right way to prepare to meet God. The old saying is true: fail to prepare. If we fail to prepare, we prepare to fail. Almighty God is the great covenant-keeping and covenant-making God of eternity. And this is how he has always dealt with sinners. That is always how he has dealt with his people throughout time. And it is upon the basis of his covenant of grace, which he made with the different patriarchs, which he kept to. When you go and you turn to your Bibles in the book of Genesis, and when you think of how Adam and Eve had disobeyed God in the garden, but yet the Lord in his goodness and his mercy, what did he do? The Lord clothed Adam and Eve with skins. The Lord had shed the blood of an innocent animal to provide skins for Adam and Eve. And then when we look at the life of Abel, and Abel and Cain, when they brought their offerings to the Lord, for that was God's appointed way. They could not approach God. They could not worship God without the shedding of blood. And we know that Abel brought the best of his lamb to the Lord and shed its blood. And Cain, he brought the fruit of his labor. He brought vegetables. You see, he came his own way. He thought his vegetables would be good enough, that his unbloody sacrifice would be accepted by God. But we know that it was only the sacrifice, the offering that Abel had offered up unto the Lord that the Lord had respect to. because Abel was worshipping God in God's appointed way. And there is a right way and there is a wrong way to worship God. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to prepare to meet God. And there is the right way to prepare God is to heed His word. It is to obey Him. We thought about those who totally rejected God's word. We thought about those who put off the matter of their soul's salvation. We thought about the ones who seek to go their own way and be disobedient. But the right way to prepare to meet God is to obey His word. And what does His word tell us? Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, the verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Repent and believe the gospel." And that is how we can prepare to meet God. It is by, as it were, acknowledging that we are sinners and that we deserve to be cast into hell for all eternity, that none of us are worthy or can merit God's salvation. There's none of us good enough to earn our way or to merit God's salvation. But yet if we come and acknowledge that we are sinners, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said in Acts 16, verse 30, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be saved, because He said to the Philippian jailer, "And thou shalt be saved." You see, if we want to be prepared to meet God, we must come upon God's terms. We don't come to God with our own views. We don't come to God with our own terms of surrender or our own terms of redemption. But we come upon the finished work of Christ. We come by repenting. We come by believing in what He has done for us, what He has done for each and every one of us in this meeting tonight. And at the heart of God's word is that great theme of redemption, with the person and the work of Christ at the very heart of that. We know that redemption, it simply means the setting free, the loosing of those who are in bondage, with a great price. And that great price was the Savior, His precious blood. And yet God was prepared to send His darling only begotten Son into this old sin-cursed world to be our sin-bearing substitute at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. So often we can neglect to spend time on meditating upon God and His word, and even upon the message of the gospel, and how that has a great impact upon each and every one of us tonight as believers, and how that has a great responsibility upon your soul tonight, my friend, if you're not saved, or perhaps you're backslidden. How you ought to come back to your first love tonight. When we think of the words of John 3 and 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." What about Acts 4 and 12? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Each and every one of us needs to be saved in this meeting tonight, and praise God, many of us are saved. But if there be any in this meeting tonight or listening in, oh, you need to be saved. And as Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, that we have redemption, and that is through the blood of Christ, and through the blood of Christ alone. Oh, that we would turn from our sins and trust in His finished work. Oh, that you, dear sinner friend tonight, that you would turn from your sin. As the old preachers used to say, turn or burn. Turn from your sin and trust in Christ. If you fail to turn from your sin, then you will burn in hell for all eternity. And that is the message of the gospel. It has not changed. And we're not seeking to dilute it. We're not seeking to water it down for your appetite tonight, friend. That is the gospel. Oh yes, there's many other places tonight and they'll water it down for you, but not here, because that's not what we're here about. We're here to be faithful to your soul. We're here to honour God and to His word tonight. And that is the only proper and right way you can prepare to meet God, is by obeying His word, is by coming as a sinner and repenting and believing in Christ and trusting in Him and what He has done for your soul to be saved, because what He has done for our soul, salvation is sufficient. There's nothing that we can add to it. There's nothing that we can take away from it, because it is a finished and a perfect work. How do I know that? Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, Paul said, our faith is in vain. But we know that he did rise from the dead because the Bible tells us so. And because he lives, we shall live also. And it is because of his life and his death and his glorious resurrection that we know that he finished the work on our behalf. And that someday soon, he's coming back to this world again to take his people home to be with him in heaven. But will you be there on that day, friend? What if tonight was your last night on this earth? What if tonight was your very last opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, friend, you're without excuse tonight. You have no excuse that you can parade before God. Because again, you've heard the Word of God. You've heard the Word of God read. You've heard me make mention and reference to Christ. And it's all about Christ. Salvation in Christ alone. It's not by the church, but it's by Christ alone. And lastly, I want us to consider our duty to prepare. We thought about the right way to prepare. We thought about the wrong way to prepare there. That it was God's intention for people to prepare. But lastly, I want to consider our duty to prepare. I'm not here to be morbid tonight, but I'm here to be real. Because death is a subject which affects each and every one of us. It is a proven statistic that one in one will die. And so, my friend, with that statistic ringing in our ears, so it ought to be something to stir us up, something which ought to cause us to make sure that we're right before God tonight. I'm not right before God tonight because of who I am or because I'm in the college, but because of Christ, because of his imputed righteousness which I received that moment, I looked to him by faith and trusted in him. And praise God, dear sinner friend, tonight, the moment you look to Christ in faith, you will receive his perfect righteousness, that righteousness which you do not have in and of yourself, an alien righteousness, a righteousness which is not from man, which is from God, a righteousness which Christ did not need for himself, because he is sinless, because he is spotless, because he is God. But yet he purchased it for you, friend. And you can have it tonight if you will but come and trust in him. Dear brethren and sisters, tonight, praise God tonight that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You know, I was thinking about Galatians 3 and 13 and how death, it is the curse of the law. Because Adam and Eve had disobeyed God in the garden, so sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, as Paul tells us in Romans. And that is because each and every one of us has fallen short of God's standard in the Ten Commandments. And that death has passed upon each and every one of us, and each and every one of us will have to face the last enemy of death. But praise God, when death comes to our soul, it is nothing more than the utterance or the ushering in into God's eternity in heaven. It's just a stepping stone, as it were, for us as Christians tonight to enter into God's presence in heaven for all eternity. And we must come ourselves. My friend, you cannot depend upon another person tonight to save you. You cannot depend upon your another loved one in your family who's a Christian. But you must come yourself tonight. You must come to Christ yourself. It's a personal thing. The old saying is that God has no grandchildren, and that's true. God only has children that have been adopted into his family, those who have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in him. At the start of this message, I share to you the passing of William McConnell and his brutal murder at the hands of IRA gunmen. William McConnell was a prison officer for the Northern Ireland Prison Service. And in fact, at that time, he was the governor of the Meath prison. The reason I shared what happened to him was because of his background. You see, William McConnell was a born-again Christian. He was brought up in a Christian home in Hollywood, just outside Belfast. And while attending the Christian group at his school, he was spoken to and challenged about his need to be saved. He was challenged about the fact that Christianity is not something just for a Sunday, but it was something to be lived out day in and day out in our lives. That Christianity is for every aspect, every day, every moment of our lives. Christianity is our identity. My identity tonight as a Christian, born again by the Spirit of God and saved by the grace of God. That is who I am tonight. Simply a hell-deserving sinner, saved by grace. And as William McConnell, his life was taken from him by wicked, evil men that day. But yet, because he was saved, because he was born again, he had passed from death onto eternal life to be with Christ, his Savior, the one who had spoken to him, the one who had saved him by his grace, the one who William McConnell, all those years ago, put his faith and trust in. And so ought you tonight, friend, if you're not saved, to trust in William McConnell's Savior, to trust in my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him alone. You know, as I was reading that story about William McConnell just this past week, and it was as it was brought to my attention the week before, him and his wife sat down and discussed many times about the threat upon his life because of his job, because of his role in society. And yet that marked him out as a target for terrorists. But yet, and it's as I read in that story about William, he never locked his car, or he rarely locked his car. He rarely checked his car for devices. He was so trusting in God. And even when some attention was brought to him about a report in the Mays prison at that time, and he appeared on the press and the news media at that time, he still was not afraid. But he had trusted his life to Christ. And he knew that whenever his time on earth was finished, that it was God's appointed time. And even though the circumstances of it were totally wicked and evil, and those men had to be brought to justice which carried out that awful attack. But yet this is what I want you to grasp tonight, friend. That William McConnell, he was saved. He was ready. He was ready to meet God. And that is the most important thing tonight, is that you are ready to meet God. Yes, I know the passage here is speaking of God's people preparing to be judged for their sin, but I want you to consider tonight this in the gospel, that you need to prepare to meet God, to come God's way, to come through Jesus Christ and by Christ alone. As John chapter 14 and verse 6 tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Christ said. I wonder, will you come to Christ tonight if you're not saved? I wonder, will you consider what he has done for you? Consider him that endured such affliction for you. Consider him that bore the wrath of Almighty God upon his own body, upon the tree, for my sin and for your sin. I love the words of the hymn writer where he said, oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Oh, friend, you'll never encounter love like it. You'll never encounter the grace of God like you will when you come to Christ. You'll never encounter such love which human beings can give you until you come to Christ and experience his divine love, that love that held him there in the tree when he suffered in our guilty room instead. We've thought it this evening about, first of all, God's declared intent for people to prepare to meet him. We thought as well of Israel's duty to prepare. And sinner friend, tonight you have a duty to prepare to meet God tonight. Do not reject him tonight, but come to him tonight. That is your duty tonight. Your duty is to prepare to meet God while the day of opportunity is still at hand. Because we're living in days, praise God, where there is still opportunity. But none of us know. None of us know when our opportunity to come will end.